You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
We're the Con Guys, as in Comic-Con, and this is the Con Guys Show, coming at you straight from the heart of Hollywood, California, with the news, celebrity interviews, and fun-loving opinions to help fuel your passions. We are your ultimate insiders, filmmakers, writers, actors, costumers, gamers, panelists, but most of all, we are fans. And whether it's sci-fi, collectibles, comic books, gaming, animation, cosplay, or fan conventions, if you love it, we cover it. Your behind-the-scenes look at all things con.
Guys, we are starting the second half of today's show, and we'd like to welcome our very special guest and a friend of the Con Guys Show, Mr. Coy Gendreau. Coy, welcome, man.
How's it going? How's our quarantine? How's this survival?
Well, I guess we're kind of surviving.
I usually see you guys at much more public, large gatherings of there's more booze, and it's frankly much. I mean, no disrespect to the all in our homes, but it's usually a little different flavor of time.
Well, this is a virtual large gathering.
It's true. Look at us go, the seven of us.
Which is weird. You think there'd be more drinks because we're all safely at home, but no.
That's true. Yeah, no one's driving here. That's
right. I am safely at home with quite a few booze right here, so I don't know what you're talking about. Guys,
I have my iced tea provided by Jim and Luke the other night.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Jim's always sufficiently lubricated for these shows.
So I know he's thoroughly moistened. Thoroughly I know these guys through Brad Everett Young, who I actually, we grew up in the same town, and like our families know each other. So it's the tiniest world that brings me to this
Brad
podcast.
Is actually watching. There's Brad right there, Coy.
He's getting biscuits right now, man. I'm so jealous of the food he has access to.
He's sitting at home in Danville.
Man, oh man, is he a good eats.
All right.
I will when it's safe to get on a plane again.
Yeah. Guys, for those of you who may not be familiar with Coy, I don't know who that is. He is from Collider, Nerdist, Screen Junkies, and so much more. He's here to discuss WandaVision Episode 5 and where the heck he thinks the Marvel multiverse of madness might be going. Because if there's somebody that has opinions, I think Coy is it. Coy, thank you for joining us tonight. Why don't you introduce yourselves a little bit better than I did for people who may not be familiar with you?
So I am the guy that loves comic books loud enough that it turned into a job. I've been reading them since I could read, and I host a show called Comic Book Shopping. We were FYC Emmys last year, which was pretty cool to be for your consideration for Emmys for a comic book show, which I'm so proud of because I used to hide my Spider-Man shirts, and now I've got a life-size Deadpool bust. I love them, and I love both mediums, both, you know, the film and television world as well as the comics themselves. So what I try to do is get people that love the movies and TV to discover the source material and pick up the comic books themselves, because it's a really magical industry, and it's really different, to be honest. It's so much imagination and it's so much creativity. And one of the things I think people don't understand about the comic book medium is it's such a direct connection to the artist, because you're looking at like five people making a piece of art. So you're getting what the writer really felt, what the artist really wanted to show you. And it's just such a magical medium. So I love that they've become a billion-dollar industry. And WandaVision is one of those shows that I never thought we'd get to, because it's just so insane. And the tinfoil hat theories I had for this show have now started to come to fruition. So my craziest ideas happened on this week's show. And I not to be the guy that was like, told you so, but I said about 4 years ago, they should do a reverse House of M in order to bring in the mutants on a movie fight. Shit, that was 6 years ago. 6 years ago, I said they should do M of House, and they should have her say mutants instead of no more mutants, and that activate the X gene. Now, I don't think that's what's going to happen. And yeah, good man. Is it the talking one?
It is.
Yes. So I thought saying mutants would be a cool way to like activate the X gene. And this was when they didn't even have Scarlet really, you know, involved as much yet. Now I don't think that's what's going to happen. I think we're going to pull in multiverses, and one of them might already have mutants involved. I think we'll bring in a new round of MCU mutants. I think we'll have the Fox mutants for obvious reasons. All of those things being said, I never thought we'd get to a multiverse that was digestible for everyday audiences, much less it be a Pietro Wanda reuniting adjacent by way of him being Uncle Jesse on a show that takes place in multiple decades while we're dealing with the loss of children that also may or may not be Vision's while Vision's dead, but he's back because Scarlet Witch's hex magic has been named by Darcy from Thor. What we've accomplished is impossible.
Okay, wait. Take a breather. Oh my god.
I like this guy, Jim.
Yes. Well, I've always liked Coy. There's so much to digest here.
Real quick. I'm talking fast.
Yes, because we're gonna throw it to Coy, and I'm gonna shut up. I know it's hard to believe, Ben, but I'm going to shut up. No, but I do want
it when I see it.
Okay. Sure. Okay. But Ben, Derek, and Katie, Ben and Luke, real quick, because Coy's gonna jump in. Give me your assessment on episode 5. Short assessment. Go.
I'll go first because obviously I'm the one who's been hating it, other than Danae, for the majority of this show so far. This episode changed my mind. I still stand by what I think in the fence that I think it took a long time to get there. That I personally was having trouble staying with it, but I did because I was like, I have trust in Marvel, so I stayed with it. That said, the last moment, I was so hyped because that is exactly what I was hoping. I was like, okay, hopefully we're going to see Quicksilver, but I'm really hoping we see Evan Peters. And you guys remember mentioning that. And so when I saw Evan Peters, I was like, okay, well, we're finally getting mutants in the MCU in the sense that they could actually be called mutants now because they've never been able to be called mutants up until then. Mm-hmm. And I'm on board now. Like now I'm like full on invested and excited.
You're in the rabbit hole of WandaVision right now.
Yeah, and like the whole multiverse, the fact that this is all going to lead up to the multiple movies that come after it, we're finally seeing that come into fruition.
I do want to talk to Coy. I know somebody named Toy. I'm so sorry. I want to talk to Coy about that in just a second, but Derek and
Only
Ben.
Only on weekends, Jim. Only on weekends.
Yeah.
Derek, oh, what do you think?
Yeah, first of all, Kristen, thanks. Hi, great to see you. I had to give her a shout out back. But I did love this episode, and I feel like each episode that comes, I'm like, oh yes, this is what I've been waiting for. And I felt that with episode 1 and then 2. I was like, this is exactly what I was hoping these episodes would be like. This is what I wanted. And then each progressive episode like that, as we've gotten to know more of what's happening and so many of my guesses have been confirmed, I've been very satisfied. And I felt that way again here. The only thing, I mean, if there'd been more time, it would have been fun to have a few more like references or spoofs kind of about Full House and many of those shows. I just really want Elizabeth Olsen to make jokes about Full House. But that said, there was so much. I know. There was so much weirdness going on. I think they had to just limit what they could do in a half hour show. And I love that, you know, we're getting hints that she's actually finally going to be called the Scarlet Witch when she didn't really get that yet in the MCU. Yeah. I love that things are so so meta when you've got Darcy talking now, you know, coming up with calling it the Hex, and referring to things like, oh, did she recast Pietro? There's just so much to love. And I was watching this during the day yesterday with crazy kids running around. And my wife and I had to pause it a few times and go back because these kids are loud. interesting because, you know, two of them don't even speak English yet, but they're loud. And we put on subtitles at one point, and then at the end, Lara was still a little confused. Because when I said, oh, that's Quicksilver from the X-Men movies. And she was like, wait, I don't remember him. I remember this actor. And it turned out like she had kind of got a brain fart and was thinking Silver Surfer. No, totally different franchise. This is what having three crazy kids 3 years and under will do to you. Especially if you're trying to watch TV and trying to understand a show with a whole lot of layers to it and a whole lot of weird things going on while kids are running around yelling and also jumping on you and tickling you. And yeah. But all that to say, yes, we liked it.
Okay. To briefly interrupt while you're talking about the Olsons, another fun thing beyond the obvious Full House magic of re-experiencing that through Lizzie is the director, Matt Shakman, was in the spinoff of Growing Pains So they both, the director and the director and Lizzie Olsen both have connections to 80s sitcoms directly referenced in the opening credits, which is what layers of fate lining up does that happen? Like the lead and the director of a show?
Like Luke, you and I are friends with Trent. You're more friends with Trent, Lizzie's brother, right?
Is that yeah. Yeah, Trent Olsen. I don't know if you've ever met Trent Coy, but he's really cool, and it'd be fun to get him on, possibly. I don't know if he'd ever do it.
He's got the same kind of energy Coy has.
He's big-time energy.
They're a great family for having grown up in the madness. There's very few that survive, and they're all well-rounded people, and I really love that, you know, we're at the age where we can self-reflect sitcoms back to sitcoms and have it be in canon and have that opening salvo be multiple people's recreations of their childhood. Like what a magical time to be alive.
So Coy, Brad says, all right, tonight's show is driven me to drink. Cheers. Hashtag Kool-Aid. Coy, this counts as us having a drink in Dan Vegas.
You know, we didn't get to at Comic-Con last year because Comic-Con last year didn't exist. So correct.
It did exist, though.
Yes.
In the internetiverse.
Ben, what did you think, real quick, before we jump into Coy taking us through the Easter eggs and all?
So I saw the perfect meme this week, and it had a picture of Elizabeth Olsen, black and white, from one of the earlier episodes. And it said, if you can't handle me at my episodes 1, 2, and 3, you don't deserve me at my episodes 4 and 5. I said it last week, and I'll say it again. Without the first 3 episodes, we wouldn't give a shit about what happened in episodes 4 and 5. Mm-hmm. We really wouldn't. And I am totally on board with Derek and totally not on board with his sister in saying that the first 3 episodes were great because it gave us something different. It gave us something weird. It gave us something wacky. And it gave us something where we watched it and we were like, that was cool, but something's wrong. Mm-hmm. And that was the whole point. Something's wrong. And to go off what Coy was saying, you know, when I didn't pay much attention to like the behind the scenes stuff for WandaVision. And so I had kind of heard Evan Peters was like involved, but then I wasn't sure if that was a rumor or if blah, blah, blah. And then when he showed up at the very end, so my wife works in the comic book industry and she usually gets up about an hour before I do to start work. We both work from home. And so she was like, she like wakes me up. When she's getting up, she's like, babe, I'm going to watch WandaVision because if I don't watch it before I start work, I'm going to get spoiled on it, okay? And so I was like, okay, that's fine. I'll watch it when I get up because I start work an hour after she does. And so she got up and watched it, and then I got up and watched it. She's working, and I'm like, all of a sudden, I'm just like, oh, shit! Like, as soon as, you know, you see the back of her head, and it looks like Aaron, what's his name, Kick-Ass, and then it spins around, and it's Fox Universe Quicksilver, and I was like, ah! And I do like to, again, I'm going to say this, what Coy said with the House of M and Scarlet Witch saying no more mutants now is, you know, I'm looking forward to seeing, is she opening up multiple universes? Is she manifesting mutants into reality? She's started, you know, they've asked the question, is she just like creating people out of nothing now? Is she this godlike being? And what's exciting now is we've seen our first Fox X-Men universe character in the MCU now. And so Tony and Coy referencing Deadpool, now this is starting to crack that door open for Ryan Reynolds to start making his way in. And I am looking forward to seeing Ryan Reynolds play in the sandbox of the MCU.
Dragon Con 2021 is scheduled for Labor Day weekend, and whether it's an in-person event or once again goes virtual, the Dragon Con Report podcast crew will cover the con right up to the big event.
So sit back with your bucket of rum, dragon's mead, apple pie, or whatever your beverage of choice, and tune in to the latest news, notes, interviews, discussions, and even a dragon tale or two on the Dragon Con Report, a proud member of the ESO Network. Check us out at DragonConReport.com.
So my 6-year-ago pitch was M of House with saying mutants instead of saying no more mutants. My 4-years-ago pitch, which I know Rob Liefeld, and he approves on record, for this pitch, now I just got to get Ryan and Fox and Marvel and Kevin, lots of other names to sign off. What if this guy, instead of killing the Marvel universe like he does in the comic books, Deadpool kills the Fox universe, and we see Chris Evans, and we assume he's going to be Cap, but then he flames on. And we see Michael B. Jordan, and we assume he's going to be Killmonger, and then he flames on. And Deadpool systematically goes through taking out all of the Fox canon because it needs to be cleaned up, and whoever remains gets folded in the MCU with Deadpool. And
I would literally poop my pants.
That way he's the only one that can break the fourth wall. He's the only one self-aware enough to know that he's from another universe. Deadpool kills the Fox universe is my Deadpool 3 pitch.
Wait, Tony, what did you just say?
We have this.
Look, this is as far as my nerdiness happens to go, okay? I happen to do a show with these great guys called the CNA Geeks, Certified Nerd Authority. You know, shout out to them, blah, blah, blah. So anyways, we were just talking about the WandaVerse, and in particular, my disdain, and I hope you guys do this with a grain of salt, my disdain for this particular episode, I'm sorry, I had to say it. I had to say it, and you know why? Because I dislike Darcy.
Me too. Me too. Oh. I don't like her either.
No, I threw it out there. I'm sorry. Look, everyone, I am sorry, okay?
I agree with you. I agree with you. Me too.
Why, Katie?
Your card revoked.
Katie,
I've never cared. I don't know. I'm not saying that necessarily her character, but I just don't care for Cap.
Every character that she plays is the same character, no matter whether it was from Broke Girls or all the way up to the all the way up through the Thor universe. She played.
All right, that's fair.
Yeah.
All right. So guys, Koi, you have what's the name of your Instagram live show? It's Koi.
I'm just calling it InstaKoi Live because I'm a narcissist.
All right.
InstaKoi Live every Friday.
Brad, Jim's head has grown 3 sizes today. He goes, Koi is making Jim's head explode with these theories. Listen, so I was on Friday morning, Koi, when you were doing your Instagram live show, I was like, holy crap, this is amazing stuff. You were saying stuff I had never heard of. And so if you don't mind, if you could dive a little bit to your Instagram live, you had notes and you were taking us through the series a little bit, man.
So first of all, thank you for watching. I really love the medium of Instagram Live because I love and respect the fact that everyone is into comics right now. But it's really fun to do kind of like a freeform water cooler conversation with comic book fans. It feels like going to the comic book store like we used to on Wednesdays and having conversations. So as much as I love the infinite articles and as much as I love shows, it's really cool to do something live and have the interaction. So Instagram has been great for that. It's an hour limit and I usually go right to the last second and we have to wrap it up. So what I do is I watch it first thing in the morning and then I take a couple notes watching it a second time, then I dive right on. So at like 10 a.m., I'm live having not yet perused other people's theories because I want them to be mine and the people watching. So I dive in at like 10 a.m. and we do an hour conversation, water cooler style, about the episode. This week's was obviously zesty because at episode 3, I started calling Evan Peters with sincerity. I was like, guys, I think this is finally happening. All of my craziest dreams are coming true. We're getting it. And then on TikTok, which is my other medium for craziness, I've been saying since like episode 4, but like right before the episode, I was like, it's either going to be episode 5 or 6. We get Evan Peters. Mark my words. We're getting the crossover in this. And then obviously when it happened, I immediately had to turn on the live and I lost my mind. So my theory with episode 3 was that we were going to get Evan Peters in the 80s because he was going to be the Evan Peters of the 80s when we got him in the X-Men. And it was going to be a crossover due to Wanda not being able to find her brother and then accidentally bringing in a brother from the multiverse. That could still be what happened. That was my theory a few episodes ago. Now, adding to that theory, I'm thinking it might also be Wiccan that has done the same thing. Her son also has reality manipulating powers. There are some ideas that the butterflies in episode 3 and the mobile that she didn't realize she did might not have been her. It might have been Wiccan in utero who has the similar abilities. So what if Wiccan wanted his uncle and was able to pull him from a multiverse? That's why Wanda looked so confused. It could also be because, hey, she thought she'd see her brother when she opened the door and she saw her brother. There's a bunch of reasons she could look, you know, that baffled. Also, the fact that she had just brought her brother back from the dead, if that's what she did. But the entire episode rested on the fact you can't bring someone back from the dead. So yes. I think in the attempt to bring Aaron Pietro didn't happen. Evan Pietro happened by the universal rules they're establishing. Now, what I think is going to be interesting is we've gotten little notes in other episodes, like the beekeeper, who I think is an agent of AIM, and I think AIM is going to be very important as we go along. When they pulled his tether back, it turned into a jump rope, and it stayed a jump rope. We saw that was in episode 3. We then saw in episode 4 how foundational the outfit was, and then they leaned into that even more in episode 5, how the outfit became bulletproof. It was like, you know, of her own construction, which means those two kids, even if they're constructs of her mind, do remain when the dome falls, and they become Young Avengers. They're Tommy, which is Speedster, and Billy, which is Wiccan. But that also means whatever she constructs while pulling from things means the multiverse collides with us, bringing us whatever potential realities come forward. Now, a lot of people have been saying, like, oh, what if it's Loki? It's not Loki. He's got his own show. What if it's Mephisto? I think Mephisto's Dottie. But even if it is Mephisto in the body of Evan Peters as Quicksilver, that's still Mephisto acknowledging the Fox universe and therefore still making the Fox movies canon and still causing the multiverse of madness. Just in case people are like getting uppity about a twist on a twist, that's still the implication that the multiverse starts with Evan Peters, who started in a fucking Carl's Jr. ad. We're still getting Carl's Jr. to multiverse in less than 5 years. So it's the escalation of multiverse as caused by that image, whether or not it's someone in his body or him himself, that's going to be causing what's to come. Now, what I think is to come is that this show takes place 3 weeks after Endgame. They talk about the fact that she blipped back in. It was 3 weeks between the fact when she came back and her on the field. That's really important and isn't talked about enough because that is around winter time and it's next summer when Spider-Man Far From Home takes place. I think J. Jonah Jameson is also from another universe. I think the multiverse started with Spider-Man Far From Home. I think Jonah was the first character that did it, but they played with continuity. And now the multiverse that Jake, everybody thought was a fraud with, was legit. And now we're going to see how much multiversal madness has already been at play. We're going to get, I believe, Jonah, who you don't cast an actor from another universe to play the same character and change his haircut. I think we're going to see two Jonas in Spider-Man 3. We're going to see OG Jonah, and we're going to see this new universe Jonah. I think we're going to see both Aaron, maybe in a commercial, and Evan Peters as Pietro in the coming episodes. I think we're going to see a lot more collisions, and I think the big cameo that Liz Olsen teased is Eric Lyncher as either Michael Fassbender aged up or Sir Ian McKellen aged down. And I think that's coming probably episode 7 or 8. And yeah. I also think we get a secret 10th episode because there's only 1 week between this and Falcon Winter Soldier. That shit's getting filled up.
Yeah.
I'm very aroused.
Yes.
I'm there with you, brother. Holy cow. My table has a fifth leg, buddy.
That's only my Evan Peters rant, man. There's so many more notes. That's why it's an hour on my Instagram. If you guys, seriously, I've done one every episode. If you guys want to see some deep nerd madness, and I've been right adjacent almost all of it. So check out my Instagram. It's crazy. I'm sorry, I interrupted. What were we going to say?
It's okay. So you mentioned like Chris Evans, you know, we all know he was in Fantastic Four and now then he went into being Captain America. And as soon as episode 5 aired, I was like, you know, they announced Chris Evans said he wasn't done with the MCU. How do we know he's coming back as Cap? And that's when I was like, if he does not come back as Cap and he comes back as his character from Fantastic Four, pardon my French, but fuck yeah. Like, like that will be just, there's just so much brain explosions happening since that episode came out with like all the different things that could be happening. And I think that's.
Well, and we're leading, I believe that Wanda, I think we're going to fix a lot of the comic book problems with their character. I think we've evolved as a society, and I think we take our writing more seriously now. Wanda is an incredible character when we take our time and write her correctly, but she's also a character that when they write her poorly can fall into like mad woman syndrome. And I think that's something, you know, every storytelling trope has its pros and cons. I think mad woman stereotypes have become problematic in every medium. But Wanda, really, like, she's way smarter than some of the arcs she's got been handed. Yeah. I don't think we're going to go, like, she's a villain, she's a hero, she's a villain, she's crazy. I don't think they'll make that mistake. And that's why I think Mephisto and Agatha Harkness, Agnes, that one's so obvious. I feel like there's a double, they're going to double blind us somehow. Oh, she's even wearing Agatha Harkness's pin and her name's Agnes. Anyway, there's something manipulating Wanda so that when we get to the inevitable, her being controlled, and leading into Doctor Strange 2, it makes sense. I don't think she's the big bad in Doctor Strange 2 unless she's being manipulated. I think Nightmare and maybe Mephisto and Wanda are all a problem for Doctor Strange leading to the Multiverse of Madness, but that's going to lead directly into Spider-Man, which I think Spider-Man 3 is going to be an interdimensional Sinister Six movie where basically they're going to be gathering in Sinister Six for multiple universes. You're going to get Jamie Foxx's from Andrew Garfield. You're going to get Alfred Molina. You're going to get, recently they announced maybe Keanu Reeves' Kraven. So you're going to get multiple villains from multiple universes. All of that.
Could they bring in an animated one from the PlayStation game, though? That's what I want to know.
Wait, Katie, the look on your face looks like you just had a splashdown when he said Keanu Reeves.
No, it was just all the whole thought of, you know, they've been saying for years that they were going to make a Sinister Six movie and still haven't. And so that's why
The Drew Goddard script is incredible. What I would do if I had all the money and power in the world is I would do an Ocean's 11 movie and make the Sinister Six the leads and make Spider-Man the antagonist and have a bunch of down-their-luck villains taking on the nuisance that is Spider-Man. That way you bring in some more nuance to the Sony universe, which they don't really have yet because they got Spidey and Monsters of the Week. Irregardless, I think they're gathering known villains to save screen time. I think we have an endgame problem where everything is going to try to be bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. We've already seen that Thor 4 is shaping up to be Avengers 5. We've got Guardians and Thor teaming up and all the chaos of that. But I think Spider-Man, what do you do to fight the Sinister Six from multiple dimensions? You grab Spider-Man from multiple dimensions. So you got Andrew Garfield, Tom Holland, and Tobey Maguire at the jump. And then I think it leads into a theoretical fourth Spider-Man movie, which I think they're filming in secret, which is the live-action Spider-Verse.
Spider-Gwen will make her entrance way?
I think Emma Stone's going to be Spider-Gwen, like, in Spider-Man 3. I think that's coming, like, yesterday. And I also think we're going to be living in a... I think phase one of Marvel was about identifying heroes and what it means to be a hero. I think phase two was about not trusting authority, and that was very indicative of the time, still is. I think phase three was about who has the right to wield power and what does power mean. So we're past authority, we're past heroics. And I think phase four is what is reality. I think you have to take all those ideas and you expand them out and out. And I think all of phase four is going to be multiversal problems. And I think that's why they just announced a Wakanda show, because we're going to see all sorts of different Black Panthers. I think that's why they're announcing more and more television. I think that's why Loki's going to be Forrest Gump through time, and it's going to mess up time continuities. We're going to get more time. I think the What If universe is going to be canon in way more cohesive ways than people are expecting. This is about to make phase one look like the old Fox movies.
Yeah. This could be completely way off base, but I thought I heard some kind of rumor that Defoe had showed up on set for the new Spider-Man movie. Like, is there any clout to that? Or
so I'm usually aggressively anti-paparazzi and anti-scoop. Like, everyone in my field is like, everyone get the scoop because it's the only way to make money is clicks. And instead I'm like, I'll make half the money and I'll talk about facts. That said, your boy's been all over those stories because I want it so bad. usually I'm like, mute spoilers in Spider-Man 3. I'm like, what if I find out through photos? I do think that is happening because it would give closure to a Sam Raimi quadrilogy that was supposed to happen that never did. I think Sam Raimi taking the Doctor Strange 2 was a peace offering for his input on Spider-Man 3, which is an apology for Spider-Man 4. And I also think the way all of this is shaping up is a really cohesive unit. Marvel is not as much a series of movies as it is a giant season of films that is show run. I think all of this has been planned for 7 years. There's not a coincidence Sam Raimi's back. It's not a coincidence all these stars are aligning. I would expect Willem Dafoe. I only wish, and this is someone I do this for a living, I only wish I could take some sort of Harry Potter elixir and not know shit and just go in 2 years. Like, I don't want to see a trailer. I don't want to acknowledge, but it's my job. So I'm going to have to, like, I mean, even now it's 2021. The shit comes out way down the line. I'm like, maybe give me a taste. Give me that methadone, bro.
Hey guys, I know we're bumping up against our time to have you. Tony had his hand up, and I know Ben and Derek, you guys had questions. So
I've actually got another 15 if you want me.
Yes,
I have one question. Alfred Molina, I loved his portrayal as Doc Ock, man. I'm thinking Sinister Six. I'm thinking, Alfred Molina coming in as Doc Ock, totally trashing everybody, multiverse happening, spinning arms. I think he's coming in, wrecking people. What do you think is going to happen with that?
Well, I will say, again, counter to my usual programming of don't know anything, Zendaya just did an Actors on Actors with Carey Mulligan that was delightful. Zendaya is somehow an angel come to this earth, and everything she does should be revered and respected. So I watch every bit of interview because she's a god. And in it, she mentioned that Alfred Molina is a really nice guy. And I was like, oh, as in a present tense. So I don't feel like I got any paparazzi info. I feel like someone was just talking about this cool person they're working with who happens to be working on Spider-Man 3. So I think that one is the most confirmed. I think even more than Jamie Foxx.
Dropping a truth bomb right there, right on your
chart.
You're
worried about Tom Holland spoiling stuff.
Jamie Foxx posted a previs photo on his Instagram. Jamie Foxx posted like actual electro imagery, and I was like, dude, you're gonna lose that job as quick as you got it, man. Like, no. So like, I think some actors are used to promoting material because it needs the boost, and you know, Jamie Foxx is. I don't know why Jamie Foxx isn't mentioned in more like Daniel Day-Lewis conversations. That guy, his musical talents, his acting ability, his writing, he's like a savant of many things. Mm-hmm. I think Jamie Foxx is used to boosting projects because they need the attention because he does a lot of like Oscar and indie stuff. So he's like, let me help out this little Spider-Man movie. And like, no, you didn't need to, man. Whereas like Zendaya, I think she's been doing a lot of, you know, Euphoria and a lot of more personal projects. So I think both of them were just talking like people. And that's part of my problem with, you know, the scoop culture is now it makes people that are working in these projects like Tom Holland terrified to exist because like, what are you going to do? Like to horribly name drop, like I'm asterisk caveat. I'm sorry, mom. I was in London with the cast because I took Jake Gyllenhaal comic book shopping and I met the whole cast as, you know, doing press on the movie. And I've never met a cast that was so both their characters and also such a family because they just wrapped Homecoming, went right into Far From Home. They're in London together. And the bond between those people was so beautiful to see. So it's actually a bummer that they're working on such a big movie because it's like they can't just talk about their friend Alfred Molina. They got to be like, ooh. So like I loved the bond they could have behind closed doors way more than anything that's, you know, the sensationalized stuff. So it's really tricky for me as someone that loves this media, but also wants these people to get to make these indies that have $250 million budgets, if that makes any sense.
Holy Koi, you name dropped like the perfect name ring. Here I am shopping with Jake Gyllenhaal.
It was relevant to me.
Holy crap.
Dude, we went to Orbital Comics. Shout out to Orbital Comics in London. Orbital Comics took care of us. They were fantastic. And that was one of the episodes that was FYC Emmys. You can see it on Collider.com. Me and Jake got him a lot of stuff. He's a gentleman and a scholar. Jake's the man. But it was cool to meet, you know, Tom Holland is such Peter Parker and Zendaya is doesn't make sense to exist. It was such an honor.
Wasn't Tom Holland quarantining before quarantine because he couldn't spill the beans on any movie? So they're like, you are going in hiding for the next 3 months.
Dude, Morbius came out of the woods like, there's a pandemic? The most Jared Leto thing to ever happen to Jared Leto was him 10 days into a quiet retreat coming out like, what happened?
Can I throw in one name? And Jamie Foxx, that guy in particular, he had a great, great storyline and role in Project Power. Which you guys can find on Netflix. Project Power was a great superhero movie. I don't know if you guys happen to watch it. If you did not, please watch it.
Netflix, please. Joe Gordon-Levitt, Jamie Foxx, Machine Gun Kelly.
Yeah. Awesome. Awesome.
I'm a big MGK fan, so I was really excited to see Machine Gun Kelly with Joe Gordon-Levitt. I was like, what's happening?
Hey, Ben or Derek, did you guys have a question? We're bumping up against our time here.
I don't know, every time I think I'm going to ask something, like, Koi just keeps talking and he just goes like 10 years ahead of any questions I would have had.
And then he shamelessly just name drops and then I get embarrassed to be on the show with him and then he's embarrassed.
I mean, what else am I going to say? Like, you know, yeah, I got in line behind Jennifer Gardner at a Kroger once.
It was in context.
I'm so sorry.
My mom watching Netflix. Oh,
yeah. Can we read Brad's comment? Brad goes, us Danville people get out of Danville and you're damn right we name drop.
It was in context and I was saying it for the sake of the elegance of Zendaya.
But Derek or Ben, you guys want to jump in here?
Yes. Well, the other day I was having ramen with Wayne.
Ben's talking, so I'll wait my turn.
Go ahead, Derek.
I want to know Koi's theory here, because everybody was talking about Agnes being Agatha, and of course, I, being someone who does not know the comic books but appreciates the source material when I'm exposed to it, I'm wondering, because you were saying you think it's probably going to be a bigger twist beyond just her being Agnes, maybe, or beyond just Agnes being Agatha and maybe controlling Wanda. Do you think there might be other characters in Westview that turn out to be other Marvel characters we weren't expecting to see?
So Dottie, from the jump, is the only character we've seen separate from Wanda or Vision that isn't in a set waiting for them to approach. We saw that gathering of people at the school, but that was a setup for Vision to stumble upon them in a TV setting. Whereas we actually cut away to Dottie and her husband in one scene. That's the only time that's happened. From the beginning, from episode two, again, you can check the tapes. I've been saying that she was Mephisto, because there's a line in episode two where she says the devil's in the details, and Agnes says that's not the only place he is. And she's also able to... She broke the glass and she bled in color. And there's a lot of like indiscrepancies in her character. She also has a lot more control than she should. In the comic books, Mephisto is part of the way the twins are created. Shards of Mephisto exist in the children. And there's also a lot of messy continuity with Scarlet Witch and Mephisto. So I'd imagine it'd be a useful way to do this. It would also solve the Mad Woman problem if you had her being manipulated, if you had outside, you know, things causing this. So I think Agnes is working for Dottie, or Agnes is a manifestation to trick people made by Dottie, which is Mephisto. And I think the double blind might be we find out Agnes is a witch, and then we find out later she's being controlled as well. So we think our big bad is Agnes, and then we find out our big bad is Dottie. And I think the Dottie is going to be Mephisto. And I think Mephisto leads to Nightmare and Doctor Strange. I think Mephisto is going to be an underling of evil going forward. And I also think that's going to be the thing we can't solve with Sword. Like, Sword is clearly a negative. Like, Sword is like S.H.I.E.L.D. was in Winter Soldier. They have too much control. They turned an observation unit into making weapons. I think Sword was trying to weaponize Vision, and that's what caused her to snap. Wanda didn't just go crazy. She was relatively calm in Endgame. The Endgame scene that was supposed to be the post-credit scene was her stealing Vision's body. That, I think, which they used in this episode. I think that's the moment she snapped and realized she would never be at peace and never have safety. I also think that grief and trauma are something that every single character, when they snap out of this reality, feels immediately. So I think Wanda feels like she's doing the right thing by suppressing grief and trauma. She's trying to protect these people. She's helping them get over their grief and trauma. Mm-hmm. So what I think is happening is everyone in Westview has been, you know, the opioid in the masses, in this case, is Wanda. They're all calmer, so she thinks she's doing the right thing. That sounds like something Nightmare or Mephisto would feed off of, is all that grief and trauma. And that would be another reason that when she snaps, she thinks this is the way to solve it. And therefore, Vision being used as a weapon by Sword, Mephisto coming, or Nightmare coming to feed off of the trauma, everyone in Westview not realizing they're under grief of trauma, all of this is cooking up into one big thing leading to Doc Strange.
All right, we got about a minute left with Koi. Ben, you had a question.
Where does Morbius fit in 2 years? Or next year, I'm sorry.
So Morbius being a Sony property means that you can have him in the Marvel things through Spider-Man, but it's not likely to go both ways. So basically the Sony-Marvel deal is Spider-Man is allowed to be used in the Marvel films as long as it's a lot. I'm not a lawyer. But they can use the occasional Marvel film in the Sony properties. That way he stays in-universe. So Morbius is one of those characters that's part of the Sony universe of Marvel characters. They literally call it the S-U-M-C, the SUMFC, which is not nearly as polite as MCU. So those characters in the SUMFC are over here, and that's how I think we get Sinister Six, is I think Michael Keaton tries to recruit Morbius to join the Sinister Six. He turns him down. We've seen Michael Keaton in the Morbius trailer, and right. I think that way he stays a part of the universe, but that way you can also keep Venom and Morbius as their Monster of the Week type movies, which I honestly appreciate. I don't want everything to feel like MCU. I like that we get some versatility. I like that Sony makes weird choices. We'd never get Tom Hardy in a lobster tank with Venom in MCU. As much I love the MCU, obviously, I've been ranting for an hour, but I think it's important to keep the Sony stuff separate, so I think that's what's going on with Morbius.
Hey, Koi, well, real quick.
I wanted to ask, because Michael Keaton was in the Morbius trailer.
Michael Keaton is technically a Sony character because he first appeared in a Sony movie. And what's also going to be interesting is if I'm correct and Michael Keaton is gathering the Sinister Six through dimensions, guess what Michael Keaton's doing over at DC and Flashpoint? Gathering Batmans. That means that Michael Keaton is responsible
Batmans
for
the confusion
of Batmans, who knows? That means Michael Keaton is responsible for two universes' cohesion. Derek, the stakes are high.
Yeah, and we're going to get the Amalgam Comics Cinematic Universe.
Wait, before you go, I have two questions. One, is Vision going to be alive? Is he going to be alive at the end of this? Do you think? And two, are we seeing Magneto? Okay, two, go.
One, I'm now thinking if it's Batman's or Batman, like Platypi or Platypuses and Geese and Goose. Yes. Someone at DC write me. Batman's.
Batman's.
The real one, Vision, I do think will be alive because we're going to basically, he's alive in the bubble. So when that crumbles, just like the rope and just like the costume, he will exist. I also think Shuri was able to do a lot more than we expected. And the Mind Stone was removed violently. But when he touched Computer Boy's head, Little Yellow reached out and was able to clear his mind. Meaning I think parts of the Mind Stone are still part of Vision. I think it's part of his entity, like his nest. So I think we're going to have a lot more control Vision when we get out of this thing. I also think that's how we get Young Avengers, because we have to have the Young Avengers after this. We've already got Kate Bishop, we've already got Stature.
Yeah.
Two essential Young Avengers are her children, so that's why I think, you'll also notice, I didn't even get into this, Agnes is trying to age up the children. Everything Agnes did in that episode was in an effort to age up the kids. I think Agnes knows through witchcraft, because she's a witch, when the kids are old enough to take, or when she can convince them they need to leave. So she's trying to age up the kids intentionally. And I think they do that through his reality manipulating and Speedster speed. I think they combine and they're able to age each other up. And I think that's how we get Young Avengers out of this. And I think they stay real just like Vision does. And your second question, Magneto, I think either both or at least one. And I think they'd play with ages. They'd de-age Sir Ian and they'd age up Michael Fassbender. I would say Michael Fassbender is a little more likely. Because I think they're going to want to play with that a bit more, and then they're going to make new MCU X-Men. But I also think there's a chance, what if we get the of Sir Patrick and Sir Ian for the last time? Like, there's so much, you know, like, what a great, that. Like, this is wonderful. Because as of now, Sir Patrick's last appearance was in Logan, which didn't have Magneto. He said that was it, he was done, but it'd be kind of cool for that last moment for them to be together, because it's really important to the comic books and to WandaVision, and I think I've gone on too long.
Okay, guys, we gotta let Koi go. Does anyone have any final questions before we let Koi go?
No, Jim, let him go.
Let him go.
All right. Wait,
did I inform? Did I help?
I'll say that.
Yeah. Koi, I love you like no man should ever love another man.
Hey, Koi, tell us where people can find your information, your shows. Where can people find you and keep up with you?
Okay, if you want short form theories, I predict what's coming up on TikTok. I predicted Spider-Man 3. I predicted correctly the Evan Peters stuff. I just started the TikTok 9 days ago. Brand new, fresh TikTok. That's where you get short form. Long form Instagram every Friday, hour long videos. I do a show called KoiCast. It is a long form podcast, iTunes, iHeartRadio, Spotify, wherever you pod your casts. I also do a live show every week called Koi Cubed. Remember the narcissism, I warned you. Every Tuesday on my YouTube page. So KoiCast, Koi Cubed, Koi Live, all of those places. I also host over at Collider if you want to watch my comic book shopping. That's why I was in London with the name dropping. And I also have a Patreon with me reviewing every single comic that's out every week and a letter grade, every movie and TV show I watch every week and a letter grade. And if you want to join the Patreon, you can tell me what you want me to review. And then I do a long form dissertation like I did here about your content. So Patreon, YouTube, podcast, Collider, Nerdist, basically just type Koi on the internet and there's way too much of me because I don't like free time and I don't sleep.
Koi also has an executive line of towels used by J.K. You can find them on his website as well.
Koi, thank you for joining us tonight. This has been so great. I know it's kind of a last minute request, but dude, I can't wait till we can hang out at the cons again. I can't wait to see you, hang out with you, buy your beer.
Dude, can you imagine what this is going to be like in a post-WandaVision world? Like, what the world is about to be. We're about to have the X-Men canon in the MCU, and theoretically, Sony as well. By the time we get to another con, all of this will be one like it was in the 80s. We're about to have Secret Wars in our pants. It's going to be great. Sorry.
You've been great. Thank you for coming on. We can't wait to talk to you again, my friend. We're going to let you go, my friend.
Pleasure, guys.
Thanks, Koi.
Bye-bye. That's been great. Also, Sony, thank you so much for joining us tonight. This has been great.
Thank you guys for having me. This has been a blast. I have a lot of nerdy information inside this sexiness, which actually is a Look at that. Yes, it is the Mickey Mouse. It's the Mickey Mouse house hat right here.
Oh, nice.
Nice.
Yeah, you know what? Sometimes you just need to support the higher power, the hierarchy that will run the world at one point in time.
All right, Tony.
All hail our great leaders.
Remind us where we can find your podcast.
You can happen to find it on Facebook Live every Monday at 10 o'clock Eastern Standard Time.
All right.
Look for my name, Tony Kaz.
Tony Kaz. Tony, awesome to have you on tonight. We'll see you later, my friend.
Bye, guys. Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you. All right. And as we're down to our last time, guys,
last call here.
What are you talking to, me? Yeah. Last call. We're going to go around the room because I know, Katie, you have an event happening tomorrow night you wanted to promote.
Yeah. So am I going first then? All right.
Yes, please.
I'm Katie. You can find me at KT_ one of these days I'll get this right. Oh, now it's over there. Okay. at KT Christine across all social media, TikTok, Instagram, and Twitch. And I am doing my second, every month I am doing themed streams on Twitch once a month, the second Tuesday of every month. So tomorrow is my second ever themed stream. The theme is candy. I'm going to be making candy on stream. And I got one of those subscription boxes of candy and I'm going to open it up and try the candy. And I'm doing my first ever giveaway, and I'm giving away this. Oh, you can't see it. My ring light's in the way. This.
Chewbacca.
And it says, I choose you on the screen.
Oh.
And then I'm giving away for the dark side, folks. Oh, you can't see it.
There we go.
And this one says, join the heart side. it's all part of the new of a collection that Funko did this year for Valentine's Day. There's a couple other ones. I just got those two, but there's like a Yoda one, and there's a R2D2 or C3PO. I can't remember, but it says I am the droid you're looking for. So I think it's R2D2. And yeah, doing that. So I'm really excited. It's gonna be at 7 o'clock on my Twitch page, which you can find at just twitch.tv/KatieChristine. So really excited about that.
You're doing some articles too, right?
Yes, I was just going to say, I am right after this, actually have to write an article for that hashtag show. If you guys are fans of Batwoman or Riverdale, I am reviewing that whole season over at that hashtag show. So check those out. I've been posting that all on my social media as well. So
cool. Eric, what about you, my friend?
Well, I'm not really on social media much these days because who has time for that when you've got children?
Wait, stop. Yeah, I was over at Derek's house on Saturday, and I just take so much joy. And Derek's always together. He's always very controlled.
Not true.
It's so great to see Derek when he's a little bit frazzled.
I don't know how well you can see on here, but my hair is like sticking out at odd angles. Like, I have not had a haircut since this whole quarantine thing started, and my hair is the longest it's ever been in my life, and it's sticking out weird ways. Like, I try to tie it up, but over the course of the day it just kind of does this and my eyes sort of start to get wider and my beard starts to stick out. Well, part of my beard sticking out of my hair is because, you know, little kids like to grab it and yank on it when they're upset. But yeah, that is life right now. And, you know, one of these days maybe there'll be conventions again and maybe I will get to go with or without children. But life is good, and this is our version of conventions right now, is online calls and playing with Lego of our favorite properties, such as Hogwarts, Central Perk,
Lord of the Rings,
Orthanc Tower.
Cool.
Yeah, we're feeding the geekdom somehow.
You know, Derek, regarding children pulling on your beard, there's a wonderful company called Schick. And they've invented razor blades that are designed to cut the hair off of your face.
Foolishness.
How else does Ben keep kids from pulling on his chest hair?
Oh, wait. Brad had a comment tonight. All right, we're going to say it. Wait, we should have said this one. Here's Brad's comment. Ben's chest hair has a hard on listening to Koi.
My brown sugar.
All right. Hey, Cheeseman, last call. Where can people find you and what's going on?
Well, yeah, you can find me on Instagram and on Twitter at Cheese on Couch. And I want to say support fandoms and support your football teams. NFL just had the end of their season, so go Browns next year. And, yeah, support sports, support the movies you like, the music you like, because hopefully it'll all be back this year.
Derek is helping you find a new fandom right now. What is it?
Football, right?
No, just Derek. Kidding. Derek's no, not
I'm kidding. Harry Potter.
Yeah.
That was one of the ones behind him. So I have one movie left, so I'll finally know what's going on.
It's been like 4 years. We've been
It's been a lot more than 4 years, but yeah.
No, with Luke. Since we started watching the first movie with Luke, we've been slowly making our way through the whole series. My wife is good at, you know, planning things and figuring out when we can do movies. But yeah, so we've seen up through 7 part 1. You're loving it, right, Luke?
Yeah, yeah, it's been fun. And it's, yeah, been pretty cinematic. I didn't really watch them growing up because I think they started coming out when I was in high school, late high school or college or something like that. So
he wasn't a nerd yet. In
high school.
Yeah, I was watching other things and playing football and going to art school and all that.
But he's laughing at all the funny parts and screaming like a girl at all the scary parts.
Almost. The spiders, at least. Too many spiders.
But I did say that Lucas said he liked the first movie much more than he's liking the later movies. Really? Which is surprising
thing to say.
I know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm more of like a simple kind of guy. Like I like the, I don't know, like fun, the humor, the world, and the everything. Where it's just, it's been seeming like more like long conversations. And I do like the action filled scenes and all that. And when things get kind of fast, but they do get kind of long.
You like the stuff that's not dark because it gets darker and darker from 4 on. And J.K. Rowling said it herself, like it's darker. So you like the pre-darkness.
Yeah, and I was like a sports guy. I like the competitions and all that kind of stuff too that they were doing.
All right. Last call, Ben.
Was that for me? Oh, it's all you froze up there, Jim. Hey, everybody. It's me, old buddy Ben. It's me, old buddy Ben Cleaver. You can find me at BenKlieWer on Twitter and Instagram. I need to tweet and post on Instagram more. I haven't been doing it enough lately. But, I'm also a regular contributor now over at That Hashtag Show, starting to work on producing some stuff for them. I just produced a podcast on the 30th anniversary of Silence of the Lambs.
Whoa, that's cool!
And so that was with a couple guys over there at That Hashtag Show. So that was fun. I'm having a lot of fun with those guys over at THS. Looking to, after this whole pandemic thing stops, doing a lot more with THS, hopefully. And for those of you who are regular listeners, you already know I'm working 40 hours a week as a contact tracer with the Los Angeles County Department of Public Health right now. And that's eaten up a lot of my time. But I'm trying to split the rest of my time between taking care of my home and spending time with my wife and doing nerdy stuff and doing these types of things and losing quarantine weight
and watching Batman and Robin
and hoping that he can use his 35 tickets to Ren Faire 2021.
Yeah, I got 35 tickets to Ren Faire that just got canceled. But as far as what Luke mentioned, support your team, LA Rams. We just got Matt Stafford traded for him, so we'll see how that ends up. And My Chiefs, my home, you know, I grew up in Kansas. I'm kind of heartbroken about the Chiefs. And also, I hate Tom Brady. So, it's a lose-lose for me as far as the Super Bowl yesterday. But I drank, so.
Ben.
You're freezing up.
You did not mention it. We neglected to mention it. I'm sorry, am I frozen?
Yeah, you're good now.
Oh, wait.
You're good now.
Coy,
hey!
Thanks, Coy.
Brad says Ben Chester needs its own Twitter and Instagram accounts. Chest hair could talk.
Brown sugar.
Wait, and I was trying to look it up. Ben, we didn't celebrate it last week or the week before. There's something cool that's streaming of you right now. What is that?
I have a kind of a blink and you'll miss it role in the new movie, The Little Things, starring Denzel Washington, Rami Malek, and Jared Leto. Speaking of Morbius, So yeah, if you catch that on HBO Max, I'm in the third act. I'm a cop that bursts in and is looking for Denzel, and that was a blast. That was a lot of fun. So yeah, check out The Little Things on HBO Max,
which is getting a lot of attention. All right, guys, you can find me at Jim Fry LA on Twitter, James D. Fry on Instagram. But just always follow us here at theconguy.com. This has been a lot of fun. We've had a packed show tonight, a little bit longer than anticipated. It was hard squeezing everybody in. But, wow, this was fun. Thank you guys so much. And with that, I think we should cheers, everybody. Happy Super Bowl Live, L-I-V, which is the dumbest logo I've ever seen. Live, L-I-V. Anyways.
54.
We can't wait for more WandaVision, and we can't wait to return back to conventions. And I don't know what Brad means by "Where's Megan?"
Remember, he calls her Megan.
Oh right.
Oh yeah.
Because Brad thinks he's watching The View.
Oh. There's not nearly enough females on this show for it to be The View.
Danae is very, very busy tonight. All right, guys. We'll see everybody next time. Bye bye.
Bye.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping for the TeePublic store, which can all be found at www.esonetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.